what happened in Manitoba was that lots of these people that were stationed at Camp Savage, which is the Japanese language school for the military. And my husband was there, and as many people from Hawaii, lots of people from Hawaii were stationed in Camp Savage. And they didn't know nobody. They didn't know nobody in, you know, the closest place they would go to is Minneapolis or Chicago or somewhere, see. And so when they have a 3-day pass or something like that, so a lot of the kids from Hawaii would, well, you know, we hear there's some Japanese up in Manitoba. So they get a 3-day pass and come up to Manitoba, Winnipeg. Well, they would come to Winnipeg and they'd come to the USO, but there are no Japanese girls allowed to go to the USO, you know. So the USO would call the YWCA, where we were known, you know, and they'd say, are there any Japanese girls that could come and entertain these Japanese boys, you know, at the USO? That's the only time we could go to the canteen, see, when they called us. So we would go down there, and sure enough, it's these young GIs from Hawaii, you know. And so you're not allowed to go out with them, you know. You just are there to be entertained and so forth. So we would be called for that. You know, you dance with them and you just socialize with them. But so a lot of the kids, once one kid went back and said, oh, yeah, there's Japanese over there, you know. So a lot of the kids would come up. Well, my husband came up. He was a guest of somebody, and it was a doctor, a dentist that lived in North Winnipeg. So he called up to Y and said, hey, I got this young these Japanese soldiers, he said. You know, we thought it was, so then they called and they said that he'd like to help have some young girls. And, you know, in fact, in general, they wanted a whole bunch of kids to come. He had a big rumpus room, you know. So we all went down and we went there and all there was one guy, you know. And I had just made a new sailor suit, you know. So I wore that, you know. I didn't even think nothing of it. I went down there. And so he was perturbed. I came in a Navy outfit, you know. He's in the Army, but oh well, that's nothing. But that night, after we had finished at the rumpus room, then everybody dispersed. And I was going around with someone at the time too, but then, so everybody left, and my brother was to take him back to the hotel, to his hotel. Well, I got home, and then my brother came home, and my father said, what hotel is he staying at, you know? And my brother said, oh, he's staying at the Bell. And my father said, oh my goodness sakes, that's a bedbug place. So my father went down and took him out of the hotel and brought him to the house and said, well, you stay overnight here, you know. Yeah, so that night he stayed, and he was supposed to leave the very next night. So they all went to a movie, and I went out with my boyfriend, you know, and so forth. And so when they came back, you know, I don't know, it was snowing because it was in January. He came back, and they came back, and he missed the train. So back he came to our house again, you know, to stay overnight. We only lived like 3 or 4 blocks from the train station. So my father said, well, I guess it's up to you to take him to the train, you know. So I was nominated to take him to the train at 9 o'clock or whatever it was. So I went. I was late for work, but I took him down to the train station and saw him off. Well, when he gets back, he got AWOL or whatever it is, you know, and he got confined to camp. Well, so here comes flowers and, you know, letters and all kinds of stuff, you know, and so he was an awful lonely guy. So then he, when he got they were going to get shipped out, and they were going to have a furlough. So he had a 10-day furlough or whatever it did. And he wrote and asked us if he could come up and visit us for his furlough, because he had no other place to go, you know, because he was from Hawaii. So my mother said, well, that's okay. He can come. So he came, and during that time, we got to know each other. I took my vacation at the time, too, so to entertain him, because that, you know, so we got to know each other. And so he kept asking me to marry him. And I, you know, and finally I told him, I said, well, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, so, but then when he went to Florida, they were transferred to Florida. And while he was in Florida, he said, I could get an emergency if I say I'm going to get married, you know. Well, my father said, no, you don't want to do that, you know. So he went on overseas. Well, overseas was Hawaii, where he was born, you know. And so, but they were there for about 6 months, and then he was sent to Guam, and he was now attached to the Navy. And so one thing they did, and my husband was very, very upset, was that he was in the Navy. I mean, he was attached to the Navy, and their compound was outside of the guarded territory. So they have to leave. They have to leave there, you know, and then go to this where they were doing radio work and all that. But it was outside of the guarded compound. So the guards would make sure that they got there and got back. And they're going to come back. They have to call the guardhouse and tell them that they're coming, because they didn't want to be mistaken as Japanese. Because the whole 16 boys were all Japanese, see. And so he always said, well, why the heck did they build this thing, stupid thing outside of the compound, you know? But that's the way it was.